Welcome to Anointed Temple of Praise Christian Church Disciples of Christ Monday Manna Bible Study. Come on in, everybody. We are ready to begin Bible study. We are in Ecclesiastes, the second chapter.
That's right. We're in the second chapter tonight, and we praise God for each of you who are on the call and those who are yet coming on. And look, we're encouraged tonight. Lady Kim is going to take the lead tonight and just run through this. Hopefully we'll be, stop pitching me under the table. Hopefully we'll be able to get through chapters 2, 3, and 4. That's an ambitious...
2, 3, and 4?
Yeah. But we asked y'all to go ahead and read 2 and 3. They're only...
Huh?
So what?
Go ahead.
There are only 16 verses to chapter 4, so we might just read that tonight and see how things go in terms of how the flow for tonight. You think that we can handle that tonight, Lady Kim?
I think you can handle that tonight.
Okay, all right. But we're grateful. This is the first day of August. Can you believe that? And so summer is trying to get out of here, but... August usually signals the start of school and getting ready to go back to school. Y'all are in preparation mode now as educators and administrators and making sure that everybody gets back on track for what's going to happen this school year.
Mm-hmm.
A powerful prayer on yesterday for all of our administrators and workers in the system and for our kids, because we have to cover them as well as those who are going to be over them, and ask God's blessing to be upon them and make sure that we plead the blood of Jesus over their lives. Because, you know, young people, they are growing up in a very different environment.
Yes.
Than what we grew up in, and they have so many challenges before them, and the enemy is trying to destroy our young people. And so we have to make sure that we pray and that we cover them and that we speak blessings over their lives as they move forward. And we pray that God will sustain them throughout their time in making their way through school.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
And so tonight we're going to be in the second chapter, the third chapter, and hopefully we'll read that fourth chapter. If not, we'll hold that over for next week. Is that okay?
That's fine.
All right. Let's go ahead and get started tonight. And we certainly welcome each of you who are already on, and then those who are on the streaming side as well. I've talked to several people, Lady Kim, and they tell me that they're watching on the other side. And somebody tried to even put some comments mm-hmm. in. Have you heard that?
Yes.
And they were not able to do it. But we have two platforms of people viewing, and those who are on the Facebook Live side, you can leave comments and requests, but those who are viewing on the streaming side, we're not able to see them and their comments.
Right.
But we praise God for each of you who are on and those who will view later this particular Bible study time together.
Mm-hmm.
Ecclesiastes, so let's go to God in prayer. Then we're going to just do a little review of yesterday's service, and then we'll jump right into that second chapter and move through the second and third chapter and see where the Lord leads us.
Mm-hmm.
Father, we thank you again for this day, and we do thank you for our lives. We thank you for an opportunity, even on a Monday evening, to assemble ourselves around your word. And we know that your word gives life. Your word is indeed a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And so, God, we pray now your choicest blessings
yes.
to be upon us as we engage in this time together. We ask that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our redeemer. So we love you and we honor you and we thank you for being our God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.
Amen. Thank God.
All right. Well, Lady Kim, we had another powerful worship experience on yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was sitting there as Dr. Kwali Seymour was preaching. Isn't it amazing how God just gives us a word for this season?
Yes.
And how God is just speaking into the lives of the preachers and a relevant word that really hits the nail right on the head. I mean, after your word Sunday before last and then Well, Dr. Qualley's coming with another powerful word. Keep in mind now, all of these messages in some form or fashion deals with insecurity.
Right.
And they are relatable. And so we took a different approach this time in talking about relationships, but just want to deal with some of those insecurities that many times hinder and prevent us from being who God has called us to be. And a lot of those insecurities, Lady Kim, we don't really, they are not as obvious, they are not as present. Mm-hmm. And many times, subconsciously, we are dealing with things that we don't allow to surface to the conscious side, but that subconsciously is hindering us and preventing us from moving forward in the things of God.
Absolutely.
And so, Dr. Qualis, did a masterful job on yesterday. And just tell us a little bit about what you were able to gather from that particular sermon on yesterday.
Well, she preached on the sermon title, An Officer and a Gentleman.
Okay.
And when I first read it, I misread it. You know, mm-hmm. I just put it together, officer and a gentleman.
Right,
you know.
Right,
but
right.
Then when she said it, I was like, oh, let me read that again. It's mm-hmm. two separate words, not one compound word. So mm-hmm. it was an officer and a gentleman. Mm-hmm. And it came from Luke, the 7th chapter, verses 1 through 10, where there was a centurion, and a centurion is a Roman soldier who's in charge of a company of 100 troops.
That's right. That's right.
And so this centurion had a slave or a servant, and that servant was very dear to him.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so the servant who was dear to that centurion soldier became ill and so sick that he was on his deathbed.
Okay.
And so the centurion asked Jesus, or he sent elders, the elders of the Jews to Jesus to ask him, not only ask him, but beg him to do something for his friend who was sick.
Okay.
And so he said, look, I'm, you know, over a bunch of folks.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, he said, I'm an important person.
Right.
I tell people to go and they go. I tell them to come and they come. But he said, You just say the word and I know that my friend will be healed.
Mm-hmm.
So when he said that, Jesus said, you know, I have never haven't seen that much faith mm-hmm. in all of Israel.
That's right.
So she had a couple of, three points that we don't have to see each other.
Okay.
And so, I gather from when she was saying we don't have to see each other, you know, she was just saying that, let me see if I can get it. We don't have to see each other that when, I'm trying to see how she phrased it. Let me see, I took some notes. That when, it didn't say my notes.
Well, she's on, but she can't speak, but. Part of what that whole process in terms of, you know, many times we have to see each other face to face in order for what we want to happen to take place. And it also puts us in a position of seeing the other person so that what they are requesting might happen.
Mm-hmm.
But she had a, go ahead.
You finish.
She had a different angle to how she went about sharing that.
Right. And I usually write my notes down. It didn't mm-hmm. save my notes.
Okay. Okay.
That's what I was looking for. So when you want something for Jesus, but you want him to speak from where he is, you don't really have to see him face to face.
Right. Right.
Thank you, Dr. Qualis.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't, like she said, we don't have to see Jesus face to face. We can just ask or
right.
request what we need from him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what the centurion wanted Jesus to do for his friend. And she said, just say the word.
Just say the word, yeah.
And that meant, you know, just when the centurion said, if you just say the word, I know my servant mm-hmm. will be healed.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes we just need to have, and that last one was about the amazing faith, but we have right. to have enough faith to say, you know, God, whatever your will is, I accept that. Mm-hmm. If you just say the word, I know it's going to come true. And you know, God's word is, God's will is in his word.
Right.
And
right.
so we have to refer to God's word in order to gain his will for our lives.
Okay.
And
okay.
so he had an amazing faith.
That's
the
right.
The centurion had an amazing faith to trust that if Jesus would just say the word, that his friend would be healed.
And I think the other part that she really wanted to drive home was that this centurion, even though he was one who had authority, he recognized the authority of Christ, but he also was insecure in the fact that he didn't go himself. Mm-hmm. He sent messengers first, then he sent the elders after they got close. And so that was a part of his insecurity in terms of really, believing what God would be able to do. And so as a result of that, he had heard about Jesus. Mm-hmm. And when he heard, that's when he got in a hurry to see if he can get something done for his servant who was sick unto death. And it amazed me how that man, as he described him, how important he was to him, mm-hmm. and how his servant had helped him to build so many things mm-hmm. in the city, and how he was a tremendous blessing to him. And so he wanted to make sure that he could do whatever he could to help this man be made whole again. Mm-hmm. And so he had heard about what Jesus was doing. He had heard about the miracles. He had heard about how Jesus had done extraordinary things. Is Dr. Q saying something there?
Mm-hmm. He ought to have said, I'm not worthy.
And so, but I praise God for his faith, because it sends a signal for us even today that even if we're on the opposite sides of the fence, our faith should be of such that it crosses the line. Mm. If we want God to do something for us, we shouldn't let barriers hinder us. We shouldn't let racial differences hinder us. And I think she made mention of that. We shouldn't get caught up in political wars and worrying about whether I'm a Republican or a Democrat. But when there is a need that's ever present in our lives and we need God to do something for us, we need to get in a hurry so that we can receive what God would have for us.
Amen.
And I was just completely amazed at this story. I preached it before, but this was a different twist that she put on this particular message, and it was a powerful message. And she began to relate and connect scriptures to her points to give us the confidence that we need in terms of where we might be in situations that mm-hmm. we are going through.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And I like that, you know, many times we don't feel worthy.
That's right.
You know, and we don't feel confident. That's where that insecurity comes in.
That's right.
To go before the Lord and ask for what we want. We're not deserving. We're mm-hmm. not worthy enough. But God has promised us in his word that if we come to him,
right,
you know, that he will supply our needs.
All of our needs, mm-hmm. according to his riches and glory. And so a powerful word on yesterday. And even we had a young lady to come and give her life, would come and be a part of the church. Mm-hmm. She's been kind of praying and deliberating. Mm-hmm. And she's on tonight, isn't she, Sister Morton? And so we
actually, it's Mills. I thought it was Morton. Uh-huh.
Okay.
I said Morton, she said Mills. So,
okay, Sister Mills. Praise God for you, and we praise that God that you heard God's voice, and we love you already, and we're looking forward to you being a part. You're already on the leadership track as we move forward through that whole process. And we just praise God for you and the Lord adding to the church on yesterday. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Come on, let's give God some thumbs up and let's give God some hearts there for the powerful word by Dr. Kwalee Seymour on yesterday. An officer And a gentle man. That's right. And the gentle man is referenced to Jesus. Amen. Isn't that right?
That's right.
Okay. All right. Well, we praise God for that. And then what we're going to do tonight, we're going to jump into Ecclesiastes, the second chapter. And we'll find that this is an interesting chapter. And we're going to try to cover the third chapter as well. But keep in mind now, we know King Solomon, of course, was the son of King David. And he was the recipient of God answering his prayers. He was wise enough, even at a young age, to ask God not for riches and fame, but to ask God to give him discernment and to give him the wisdom that he needed in order to rule over his people and make wise decisions.
Amen.
And God saw his heart. Mm-hmm. And as a result of God seeing his heart, he gave him a double tap. He says, well, you know, normally people will ask for all of the material things. Mm-hmm. But since you ask for wisdom, I'm going to just give you all of these other things on top. It's like having your ice cream and then you get your toppings, you mm-hmm. know, when you go to the...
Some sprinkles and some chocolate and a cherry on top.
And a cherry on top. That's right. And so he got the full works because God saw his heart. And as a result, the Bible says that God said that Solomon was the wisest man of his day and time and the wisest man ever.
Amen.
And that he received all of the riches, all of the fame, all of the fortune. Anything that he wanted was available to him at his disposal. And Ecclesiastes really gets to the heart of the matter because Solomon, after going through all of his riches, after all of his possessions, after everything that he had achieved, after following God diligently from the beginning, finds himself going through at the end of his life, going through a very, reflective mode mm-hmm. and looking back over some of the things that he had done, in fact, his life, and he called it vanity.
Vanity.
He said, mm-hmm. I really just messed this thing up, mm-hmm. you know, and he walked away from God in mm-hmm. a sense because some of his wives, they were also bringing before him these other gods,
idol gods.
Mm-hmm. And he began to dibble and dabble into that mm-hmm. and ended up moving away from his loyalty and his commitment to God. But God still honored him. And God still, that's that grace piece. God still favored him. God did not snatch all of that away from him, but allowed him to go through that process. And at the end, he said, you know, after all of that, I still have to put my faith and trust in God.
In God. You know, I when I reflected on what he was saying in these chapters, these few chapters mm-hmm. that we're going to cover tonight, it was kind of like he went into a depression.
That's right.
You know, a reflection and depression saying, I've gone through all of this. And, you know, I'm the richest man. I have all these things. I've been all these places, done all these things, have all this stuff, and it's all vanity.
It's all vanity.
And I lost my way. I lost my direction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I trusted in some other things, and all of it, you know, doesn't mean anything.
That's right.
It none of it means anything but God.
But God.
But God is the one that mm-hmm. means everything. So it was really a reflective time, and I think, and I said all of that to say, sometimes I think we go through that same kind of reflective
mode. That's what I was about to say as well.
Yeah, that sometimes we say, look, okay, I got the degree, I have the
car, the house,
I got the promotion on the job,
mm-hmm.
and I'm still not happy.
I'm
still searching and reaching
right.
and struggling and straining. I got all this stuff.
Right.
I have all these material things, but it's all for naught.
It's all for naught.
And that's because many of us are chasing the wrong thing.
Okay, okay.
We're putting our trust in things and not putting our trust in God.
That's right. I think Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, And then all of these other things shall be added unto us. And like you just indicated, Lady Kim, many times we turn that the wrong way. And we want to seek after stuff. Things mm-hmm. and stuff and material possessions and all of that. And when life gives us and deals us a bad hand, then we fall apart and we end up going back to God, because that's where we should have started from the beginning. Mm-hmm. Because, and we're covering a lot of this second chapter now.
Right.
Because just like Solomon, after he reflected over his life, after he saw how he had squandered all of the riches and all of his things that he had, he still had those things, but it did not bring him happiness.
It didn't satisfy.
Didn't bring him joy. Mm-hmm. And so Solomon is really setting the table for us. And it's a positive and a relevant word for even today, that we need to make sure that our priorities are in order, and that we put first things first, and that we seek God and make sure that God is inclusive in everything that we undertake to do. Not just get to a certain point and tell God, okay, God, I can handle it from here.
Right.
But we got to stay with God through the thick and through the thin, through the ups and the downs. And God has promised that he would supply all of our needs.
Yes, he did.
You might not be Solomon. You might not have the wealth and the fame and the fortune, but all of us are extremely blessed. And God has been so faithful and so just to us. And all you have to do is count your blessings.
Name them one by one.
How about count your many blessings. Go ahead, Reverend.
See what the Lord
has done. That's right. But many times we start looking at what we don't have.
Right.
But when was the last time you began to thank God for what you have mm-hmm. and what you didn't get, you know, what you don't deserve, right. you know, how God's grace saved you from that which could have really taken you out.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay.
And sometimes we get so impatient.
That's right.
And we're looking over the fence at what our neighbors have.
That's right.
You know, and we want what they have. Mm-hmm. But be thankful what you already have.
Right, mm-hmm. right. Is that a comment there, or that's...
That was from before, I believe.
Okay. I was having an interesting conversation today with my good friend, Dr. Holmes, and I see he's on. We were talking about the study for tonight, mm-hmm. and we were talking about Fred Craddock. He was a tremendous scholar and
blessing to the body.
That's right, and disciple, preacher, excellent professor, teacher of the word, has many books out. But here's what the quote is that Fred Craddock said: "The longest journey you'll ever take is from the head to the heart." And so, but basically this will apply, I think, and bring relevance even to what Solomon was going through. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we go all these different places. We go everywhere around the world. We go here, we go there, we go everywhere. But really the longest journey that you'll ever take is from your head to your heart. And so the relevance here is making sure that what's in your head matches up with what's in your heart.
Amen.
And sometimes the heart is corrupt and it doesn't begin to connect in terms of what your head is saying.
All right. Mm-hmm. That's good.
That was a powerful saying. And Dr. Fred Craddock, he was the one who, and Dr. Holmes mentioned that to me today. And I said, what did you say? Let me write that down, because mm-hmm. that's connected right to what we'll be talking about tonight.
And Fred Craddock is, we've mentioned him several times in my classes.
Oh, okay.
Every class they mention books by him, and we were blessed to meet him and to hear him
Absolutely.
At some of the Disciples of Christ, not convocations, but general assemblies.
That's right.
The last one I remember and vividly remember him was at the one in San Antonio, mm-hmm, Texas, mm-hmm. years ago.
Yeah.
And that was my first introduction to Fred Craddock. But he was a powerful preacher, powerful man of God. And yes, the longest journey of that we can take is from our head to our heart.
That's right. And so we have to make sure that our heart is right, our heart is pure, and that it matches up with what our head is saying. Our heart matches up with what our head is thinking.
You and our head is matching what our heart is.
That's right. That's right.
Where our heart is.
Come on, Dr. Holmes, you can come in on that. We're just working our way through. But that's a powerful saying, and it's very relevant for us even as we move forward, because sometimes our head can be so big till we lose sight of what really is in our heart in terms of what God will require of us to do.
That's that ego.
That's
that
ego.
Our
That's
ego
right.
gets the gets the most of us. You know, we think we're so important. We think we have so much. We think we know so much. We think we know the right people in the right places to get whatever we done. You know, done. But Dr. Holmes says we have to make that journey every day.
Every day.
Every day.
That's right. That's right. And so we're in the second chapter, and we pretty much really covered this in some most of our comments today. But Lady Kim, before you read, and I think how many verses are there? There's about
26
verses. We'll find that in this first, the first 11 verses that he, Solomon, he tests life. He tests life. And then in the latter verses, he hated life. And then he turned right around, and then he accepted life.
All right.
And I think that's going to be the flow that we'll see happening throughout these particular verses here in this second chapter. He tested life. Solomon hated life, and then he accepted life. Okay.
All right. Good. So you want me to read the first 11 verses?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. And I think Dr. Holmes had one more comment. He said, in my head I know, but when it's in my heart, I do.
That's good.
Yes.
That's powerful.
Absolutely.
The head knows, but in the heart is where the action takes
that's
place.
That's right. That's what action is.
That's right. That's powerful. Thank you, sir.
We're in Ecclesiastes, the second chapter, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 11. I said to myself, come now, I will test you with pleasures to find out what is good, but that also proved to be meaningless. Laughter, I said, is madness. And what does pleasure accomplish? I tried cheering myself with wine and embracing folly. My mind still guided me with wisdom. I wanted to see what was good for people to do under the heavens during the few days of their lives. I undertook great projects. I built houses for myself and planted vineyards. I made gardens and parks and planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made reservoirs to water groves of flourishing trees. I brought male and female. I bought male and female slaves and had other slaves who were born in my house. I also owned more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem before me. I amassed silver and gold for myself and the treasure of kings and provinces. I acquired male and female singers and a harem as well, the delights of a man's heart. I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. In all this, my wisdom stayed with me. I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my labor, and this was the reward for my toil. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun.
Wow. Isn't that something?
Yes.
So he tested life, and that's that first heading that we said. And I think a lot of it, Lady Kim, has to do with even after he tested life, his heart said vanity.
Vanity. And all
so,
is vanity.
All is vanity. He went from building to impressing people, trying to have all of the enjoyments of the life, employment and everything. And he thought that was what was going to bring about the kind of fulfillment that he was seeking, only to find out that it did not bring him happiness and joy.
That's right.
And you know, that's so powerful, because it's our head, it's in our head what we know, but it's in our heart what we do.
Yes.
And so if the heart is not right, then it's going to be hard for the head to line up with what you're thinking, to line up with what you know you need to do.
Right. Right. That's good. I love that.
Yeah. All right. So let's move to the next few verses, because we see in those first 11 that he tested life. But what we will see in verses 12 through 23, how many verses?
26.
Okay. Let's look at 12 to 23, because in those verses we find that after he discovered that everything was vanity, he ended up hating life. Mm. And that's what's going to be prevalent in these particular verses that you're about to share.
Okay, so verses 12 through 23. Then I turned my thoughts to consider wisdom, mm-hmm. and also madness and folly. What more can the king's successor do than what has already been done? I saw that wisdom is better than folly,
okay.
just as light is better than darkness. The wise have eyes in their heads, while the fool walks in darkness. But I came to realize that the same fate overtakes them both. Then I said to myself, the fate of a fool will overtake me also.
Mm-hmm.
What then do I gain by being wise? I said to myself, this too is meaningless. For if the wise, like the fool, will not be long remembered, the days have already come when both have been forgotten. Like the fool, the wise must die too.
Mm-hmm.
So I hated life, because the work that is done under the sun was grievous to me. All of it is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. I hated all the things I had toiled for under the sun, because I must leave them to the one who comes after me, and one who knows whether that person will be wise or foolish.
Right.
Yet they will have control over all the fruit
everything,
of my toil,
everything.
Into which I have poured my effort and skill under the sun. This too is meaningless. So my heart began to despair over all my toilsome labor under the sun. For a person may labor with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, and then they must leave it up. They must leave all they own to another who has not toiled for it.
That's right.
This too is meaningless and a great misfortune. What do people get for all the toil and anxious striving with which they labor under the sun? All their days, their work is grief and pain. Even at night, their minds do not rest. This too is meaningless.
Meaningless. And so part of what we see here, Solomon is reckoning with himself in terms of all of his wealth, his fortune, and all of his fame. And he came to the conclusion of saying, what good is it to be wise and wealthy if you're going to die and leave everything behind for somebody else?
Mm-hmm.
And they will squander what you have put your life effort and work into. And he even used a comparison of how even the fool dies just like the wise. So what's the difference?
What's the difference?
Yep. Mm-hmm. And so I think for us as believers, God does not want us to hate life. You know, he was at a place where he was hating life, you know, and he was trying to discern that the circumstances in terms of what he was going through, if everybody's going to die, and I've got all of this wisdom, then how do I really enjoy what God has given me and not worry about what's going to happen when I leave?
Right.
And so a couple of things we need to be clear on, and I think it's important for us as we try to accumulate all of these things, even when we are in proper relationship with God, know that we can't keep it.
Mm-hmm.
We can't keep it. I mean, you can't take it with you.
That's right.
There's an old saying, you'd never see a
Brinks truck
going down
going behind the funeral procession to the cemetery.
That's right. So mm-hmm. we can't keep it, and we can't protect it, and then we can't enjoy it as much as we should if we're worrying about what's going to happen after we're gone.
That's right.
So we have to not only lay up treasures for ourselves in heaven, but the treasures that we do have on earth, we got to make sure that our priorities are in order,
mm-hmm.
and that we do what we need to do in order to make sure that when we are gone, that those who are yet coming behind us get a sense and an understanding, impartation, if you will, of wisdom mm-hmm. in terms of how they, because you can't control people.
You can't control them after you're gone.
I know, right?
That's just like, you know, you have all this fame, you have all these possessions when you die. You know, you work hard, work overtime, work two jobs, and accumulate all this stuff, and then you die, and your kids and your relatives inherit all this stuff, and then they just squander it.
That's right.
They just squander it, and you worked hard for mm-hmm. years mm-hmm. to accumulate what you have, and then they go through it. You know, in a couple of months, they don't have nothing to show for your years of hard work.
And you know, they don't have appreciation for it because they didn't have to work for it, you know. And so we have to make sure that we do what we are supposed to do, and that we make sure that we leave what we leave for the inheritance for our kids so that they can continue to go forward. Mm-hmm. But we don't need to just hold everything that we have. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to leave a blank check. I don't know what you're going to leave. But and nothing's going to be in the bank when they get ready to write.
Now that's harsh.
That's real hard. So, but no, that was just joking.
I don't know. My mama left me a little something.
She did.
And it helped the sister out.
It helped us out. Real good. Gave me it right on time.
Yeah. Dr. Q said this is a powerful and harsh reality to face when we have worked so hard and accumulate so much. Solomon makes you rethink all the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they
mm-hmm.
say that's why people leave their wealth to their pets. She said, still weird.
I know, right?
Dr. Holmes said, doing wills and trust are important. That's a part of it.
That's right.
That's true. Right. Mm-hmm. So people won't go through your things and just, you know, take whatever they want and do what else. You make sure you have a will prepared mm-hmm. and have power of attorney
right.
and all that kind of thing
right.
in place
right.
so that when it is your time to leave Earth, what your wishes will be executed.
That's right.
Once you're gone from here. Yes.
And so it's never too early to start that planning process.
Right.
Because a lot of people, and we have seen it happen in our own families, you know, they come to that place and it's almost like the people behind are trying to figure out, well, what do we do next and how do we make this work? And then you uncover a whole lot of things that you did not have a clue about
mm-hmm.
and have to go ahead and make sure that you do what's necessary in order to maintain what has been left behind.
Absolutely.
But we should, as believers, have that process of wills and making sure that we have all of our trust in place
mm-hmm.
and full instructions so that people won't find themselves overwhelmed by what might seem like a lot
mm-hmm.
at that time. But, you know, it doesn't take long to go through money now.
That's
there
right.
A couple more comments there.
Dr. Holmes says you can determine from the grace and mm-hmm. from the grave.
Okay.
So, okay. yeah. And mm-hmm. What I was going to say is if you do not have a will,
mm-hmm.
We're going to have a session. Join us at ATOP on September the...
Is it
17th?
17th.
September uh-huh. the 17th. You know, we're going to have a peace conference
mm-hmm.
at the church. And the peace conference is going to accomplish or cover several different areas. But one of the things is we're going to have an attorney on hand.
That's
and he's
right.
going to talk to us about will preparation and power of attorney.
Mm-hmm.
And so you need to be there. Even if you have a will, you need to be there to ask him questions about it. And he's prepared to help people he's prepared to help you prepare a will free of charge. That's a part of what he wants to do to give back to the community.
That's right. And you know, Lady Kim, I think our counterparts, they pretty much have this peace and order for the most part,
mm-hmm.
but not everybody, you know, nobody has it all together.
Mm-hmm.
But we need not forget the work of Christ and mm-hmm. the work of the church.
Right.
And a lot of times our counterparts, they include the church in whatever they leave behind.
Yes.
But we rarely even think about that.
The church, right.
And so that could be a major blessing to help the body of Christ, to help the church, to help the region, to help, further the kingdom if we have that kind of insight before, we leave. And I think people will appreciate that even more, and it'll be a living legacy that will continue to go forward even after we're gone.
Absolutely. Yeah. And now is a we can, it's more meaningful than ever, because you may have children and all of your children have their own home.
That's right.
And
that's
then
right.
You have the home house or the family home. And what are you going to do? Most of the time, the children have nicer homes than the home, than the home house, and they're in better neighborhoods than the home house.
Right.
And so to leave the home house to the church could be a great benefit to the church.
Right,
know, the church could rent it out. They could sell it. And, it could be a major blessing
to
the church.
That's
so don't forget the church, not only in homes and, but things that you, other possessions that you may have.
That's right. And we don't have to wait until we die to start really thinking seriously about how we're going to fund the work of the church.
Absolutely.
And we just had our mid-year congregational meeting on yesterday, and the Lord has been faithful and the Lord has blessed, but the people have been willing to step up and do their part as well.
It's a blessing.
That's right.
I tell you, it's
really
a blessing.
Well, let's read those last couple of verses, Lady Kim, because the reason I told you to stop at verse number 23 was to just make sure that we understood that Solomon was talking about how he hated life, but we see these last two verses, 24 through 26, is that how he accepted life.
Absolutely.
He went through this up and down, this toil back and forth. He's reckoning with himself. He's at the end of his years, and he's trying to make sense of it all. And now he's coming to a full awareness of what he has.
All right, we're in Ecclesiastes, the second chapter, verse 24. A person can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in their own toil. This too, I see, is from the hand of God. For without him, who can eat or find enjoyment? To the person who pleases him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. But to the sinner, he gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth to hand it over to the one who pleases God. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind.
Okay, so part of the, I guess, the, if we wanted to just try to kind of bring conclusion to this particular chapter, what is it saying to us as Solomon is looking at all of this and reflecting over his life? And he's come up with some timeless, examples for us that are still relevant even today in terms of how we handle our possessions and how we make sure that what we leave behind is left in a way where we don't have to worry about what's going to happen and how people are going to mismanage and not be good stewards of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that Solomon conducted his search for life's meaning as an experiment, and he believed we were not to base ourselves on the pursuit of happiness, but on the solid foundation of God, because our accomplishments, our wealth, and our materials mean nothing after death. Work, pleasure, and people cannot satisfy people. Those who leave their fortunes to others may wonder how their possessions will be managed.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to put our trust in God.
That's right. That's right. All right, well, we're going to move to the third chapter of Ecclesiastes. That's a good wrap-up for that second chapter. And I don't think we're going to have enough time to really deal with that fourth chapter.
You were ambitious today.
So we're going to pick that up on next week. But there are, how many verses there? And this is a familiar, there's 22 verses. There are 22 verses in this third chapter.
Mm-hmm.
And many people already pretty much
familiar with
this third chapter of Ecclesiastes. But keep in mind now, Solomon is doing a lot of reflection here, and he's trying to make sense and make amends for some of the things that he has done and some of the things that he could have done differently.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, but God's hand and God's grace was still upon him, even though he failed, he had fallen short. He did not live up to the initial promise that he had given God. But he's going through a lot right here.
Mm-hmm. He is.
And so this third chapter really kind of talks about time and toil.
Time and toil.
Yep.
How many verses you need me to read?
Let's go ahead and we got about 15 minutes. So let's go ahead and read all of them. And then we'll come back and just lift up any finer points in that particular chapter.
All right. Ecclesiastes 3:1. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing.
What verse are you on now?
On number 6.
Okay, just read down to maybe verse number 8 through verse 8.
A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace.
Okay. And so right here we see Solomon, he's talking about how God orders time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's key in those first 8 verses there. And it's also a comment here where it says life is something like a doctor's prescription. You know, taken alone, the ingredients might kill you, but properly mended, blended, they will bring healing. And God is sovereignly in control and has a time and a purpose for everything. And the scripture references Romans 8:28. And we know that all things
work
together for good to
yes.
them that love God.
Love God and called according to his purpose.
So we have to make mm-hmm. sure that we are clear in terms of looking up, because God he orders time and
mm-hmm.
he is in control.
Yes.
And so we shouldn't get caught up in, you know, trying to hold things. I think you used to say a little saying about holding things loosely. No, that was about giving the kids wing shoots and wings or something like that. I'm just got all kind of stuff jumbling up.
You close.
Okay.
Roots and wings.
Roots and wings. I said roots
you
and
said
shoots.
Shoots.
But all right, tell them about that saying so they know they won't be confused. I just confused them.
No, I often say that God gives us children for two reasons:
mm-hmm.
to give them roots and wings. We root them and ground them in the Word. We root them and ground them in morals and character.
Okay.
And then we have to let them go and give
right.
them wings to fly
mm-hmm.
and give them wings to make their own mistakes, praying that they will make the right decisions at the right times.
Okay.
So they've been given roots. We give them roots and then give them wings.
Okay. And that's not what I said.
No.
All right. Okay.
But you're good.
All right. So just want to make sure everybody got clarity on that. Let's go ahead and read 9 through 14, Lady Kim, because the first thing that we talked about in those first 8 verses is that we need to look up because God orders time.
Mm-hmm.
In the second portion you're going to read now, we've got to look within.
Okay.
Eternity looking. Is in your heart.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
We're in Ecclesiastes, the 3rd chapter, verse 9. What do workers gain from their toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, no one can fathom what God has done from the beginning to the end. I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. God does it so that people will fear him.
Okay, that's through verse 14.
Yes.
Because he lifts up several points here, and the key is that we have to look within, because that's tying right back into what we were talking about with the heart. And he's expressive here and talking about eternity is in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so man's life, first of all, is a gift from God.
Yes,
and we have to be clear on that, that everything that we have, it's because of God's grace and because of his goodness.
Mm-hmm.
And then that man's life is linked to eternity.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third thing is that man's life can be enjoyable now.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't need to wait and till we get to a certain place before we start enjoying what God has blessed us with.
Right.
But you can enjoy the riches of God's blessings even now.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Amen.
And I think the latter few verses, verses 15 through 22, it has to do with how important it is for us to look ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the things that's for sure, and many times people never plan for it, death is coming to all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And time is filled with swift transition.
Right.
And so no man knoweth the hour or the time when the Lord shall appear. But we have to make sure that our life is secure in God, and that we are doing what God will have us to do, that we are not putting him second, but we're seeking him first, and that we're keeping God first in our priorities of life.
Amen.
And
that's
so
right.
The 15th through the 22nd verses will be the last part of this third chapter that we'll read for tonight.
Okay. We're in the third chapter of Ecclesiastes, verse 15. Whatever is has already been, and what will be has been before, and God will call the past to account.
Okay.
And I saw something else under the sun. In the place of judgment, wickedness was there. In the place of justice, wickedness was there. I said to myself, God will bring into judgment both the righteous and the wicked. For there will be a time for every activity and a time to judge every deed. I also said to myself, as for humans, God tests them so that they may see that they are like the animals. Surely the fate of human beings is like that of the animals. The same fate awaits them both.
Mm-hmm.
As one dies, so dies the other. All have the same breath. Humans have no advantage over animals. Everything is meaningless. All go to the same place. All come from dust, and to dust all return. Who knows if the human spirit rises upward and if the spirit of the animal goes down into the earth. So I saw that there is nothing better for a person than to enjoy their work, because that is their lot. For who can bring them to see what will happen after them?
Wow. So this is really... And you look at it, Lady Kim, he's really dissecting the importance and the significance of us looking ahead and recognizing that death is really coming to us all. And so with that being said, I think Solomon here, he helps us recall that we have a blessed assurance in God.
Mm-hmm.
And that if that priority is in order, then... we know that whenever he comes, we should be ready to receive him when he comes. And that he also talks about how God will call the past to account, all the things that we've done in the past. And so we must be careful as we move through life and make sure that we are putting our faith and our trust in God and not in things and not in material possessions. And that we need to learn from Solomon, who had it all. And even as he comes to the close of his life, he understood that he had to take full advantage of the opportunity and the time that God had given him, but he had to keep God in the forefront of his life.
Amen. When you talk about calling our past into account, you know, now that I'm older, now that we're older, mm-hmm. we have to make sure that what we do for God counts.
That's right.
So that when it is our time to meet Jesus,
mm-hmm.
When it is our time to take our final breath, our days that we've spent, now that we've known better, we will have accomplished some good in somebody else's life.
That's right.
That it's not all wasteful and all vanity
mm-hmm.
and all selfishness. That we've helped somebody. If I can help somebody.
Sing it, Reverend.
Along the way.
Go ahead and
then
say.
Then my living shall not be in vain.
That's good. That's good.
My living will not be in vain. And so, you know, as young people, we do foolish things.
Mm-hmm.
But the older we get, when we know better, we do better.
That's right.
And so Solomon here was our example. He examined himself. He examined his life. He examined all that he was able to accomplish. And he came to the same conclusion that we come to now.
Mm-hmm.
That if we don't do it for God.
Right. Only what you do for Christ.
What we do for Christ will last.
That's right.
So we have to make sure that what we do, you know, honors and pleases our God.
Is there a wrap-up that you have there on that third chapter?
Yes, that comes to the close?
Mm-hmm,
that Solomon believed that there is a time and a place for everything, whether it be good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
He believed that you seek guidance from God to truly know what your path in life is.
Okay.
God makes everything beautiful at the proper time.
That's great. That's great. All right. Well, that's the third chapter, and we've gone through the second and third chapters tonight, and we'll start back with the fourth chapter on next week. But we're certainly grateful for all of the comments and for those who have participated and shared in this time together tonight. And we're certainly grateful for how God continues to bless us even in spite of ourselves. And so we're going to prepare to close out tonight and want to know if there are any prayer requests tonight. I received a call as we were on tonight, Lady Kim from Sister Perkins. Jerry, of course, is in the hospital, and I have been talking with them most of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And so her daughter, Tawana, gave the update that he has come out of surgery and he's resting, but they haven't, given him a room yet.
Okay.
And so as soon as that happens, then they're going to call and let me know. But we're lifting up, of course, Jerry Perkins in our prayers. And talked to Brother Maurice Ruck on yesterday. He was in good spirits, but I think he's going to be off for a while until
mm-hmm.
Before he goes back to work. He's got to go back to see his doctors. And so we want to also keep him in our prayers.
All right, and I'm writing down the prayer request.
Is that Sister Loretta on there?
Sister Loretta Ruck?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
And you know, it's interesting because we have a Rucker family in our congregation. And we often talk about and reflect back over the relationship that my dad and your dad had together and how they were just like a dynamic duo, a team working hard together, and how we have that same relationship even with this family that Ruckers at our Anointed Temple of Praise.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Please pray for the B.C. Gray family,
mm-hmm.
Gray and family.
Okay.
All right.
And did you have any other requests that?
I think I have all of them that were here.
Okay.
Yes. All right.
Is there the birthday blessing?
Yes,
there?
We have birthday, Sister Pat Echols and Sister
Elaine Stevens.
Yeah, here's another one on the text there on the streaming side. Sister Michelle Carter is asking prayer for her uncle Larkin Jones.
Okay.
In Chicago.
Okay.
All right. I got him, Sister Michelle. Thank you. So when Pastor started Bible study, you know, we have two sides. We have the streaming side and we have the Facebook side for Bible study. So we can't see the comments on the streaming side, but people that have our cell phone numbers, if you could text us those, we most certainly will lift them up in prayer. As we get ready to close tonight.
Here's that Cash App, Lady Kim, that I jotted down, because I know you made mention of it last week.
Yes.
About sometimes people might want to respond, and we want to give you an opportunity to be a blessing, because we're blessed to be a blessing, and we're saved to do some saving, and we're loved by God so that we might love others. And many times we have people on the call that want to respond or want to give. Mm-hmm. We have a very active feeding program, mm-hmm. where from reports on yesterday in our mid-year congregational meeting, each fourth Sunday we supply meals for at least 300 families people. And 300 people. We have two shelters. One is really a ministry site where they see people throughout the week, and the other shelter is where they are male and female who are living in separate quarters, and we make sure that they receive hot meals every fourth Sunday. And then we also take care of our seniors and our sick and shut-in, those who want the meals. And yesterday I was sharing it right before the offering, mm-hmm. how one of the members extended that same grace to their neighbor,
mm-hmm.
and the neighbor was so impressed that she wrote a beautiful card and then put an offering in there, mm-hmm. to tell us how much she appreciated the gesture, mm-hmm. and the outreach, because the meals are hot, they're cooked right there at the church, and we have some excellent cooks, and so we just want to be a blessing. And so if you feel a need to be a blessing, then Lady Kim, would you put that information in? Can you put that in there for people who might want to give or respond? I think it's $ATOP1. That's the Cash App that goes directly to the church. Yes. Okay. All right. So any other things that we need to talk about? We got an exciting weekend coming up this weekend with special guests coming from Birmingham, Alabama. Dr. Michael Wesley and his wife and several of his leaders, Sister Loretta, they will be with us this Saturday as we have our workshop to close out the first portion of our Institute for Leadership Training. Mm-hmm. And he's going to share, and we're going to have an interactive time with some of his leaders and our leaders. And so we're looking forward to that. That starts Saturday at 10 a.m. at ATOP, and we're probably in around 12 noon, mm-hmm. and with the lunch that we'll have provided. And we're looking forward to that, and Dr. Wesley will be preaching this Sunday at ATOP. And I tell you, you want to make sure that you get a chance to hear him. Many of you heard him before. That was the same, he's the same pastor that came for Big Mama Murray's soul food sampling, and how he's very engaged. And we've been down there to his church before, mm-hmm. as from ATOP, but when COVID hit, it was our time to go down there, mm-hmm. and we had to pull back on that because it was kind of up in the air about traveling and all of the protocols. But he's coming, and his wife, and about 7 or 8 of his leaders to participate in our workshop this Saturday.
Amen, and we're so excited that that's going to take place. Also, this coming Thursday, we're going to prepare our backpacks. We had our school supply drive that ended this past Sunday, and we want to thank the congregation, mm-hmm. for just pouring out so graciously, tremendous. The boxes are overflowing, yeah. with backpacks, yeah. and school supplies, and so we're going to prepare those backpacks and put school supplies in them for the youth at ATOP that need it. Now, if they don't need it, you know, you don't have to pick one up. Don't feel obligated. But if you need it, most certainly, you know, if you need it, don't be ashamed to come and get a backpack.
That's right.
You know, that's what they're for. We want to provide. And then the others that are left over, we will donate to our adoptive school.
Mm-hmm.
So we will be packing those school supplies this coming Thursday at the church at 5:00 p.m. if anyone wants to join us. We'll be there in the Booker Hall, Booker Fellowship Hall.
So it's still not too late for people to bring.
It's still not too late for you to donate. We need all of the school supplies we can get in order to have, you know, a nice backpack filled and stuffed with school supplies. School starts here for our students on next Monday, and so we want to distribute those backpacks on next Sunday.
Okay, sounds
all
good.
All right. And then don't forget, like Pastor said, Saturday for those who are registered and involved with our Leadership Institute, 10 o'clock Saturday morning. Please be on time. We have guests.
That's right.
So be on time. Don't be lagging
come
in.
Early. Come
yes,
early.
Come at 9:30.
That's
so
right.
We can be in place to greet our visitors.
Absolutely.
Amen. And for those of you, again, who want to give, who haven't had the opportunity to give of your tithes or offerings, or if you want to plant a seed and give towards the Meals
efforts.
From the Heart
mm-hmm.
feeding program, it's
or
right.
Or the book bag, if they want
or
to
the,
give. Yeah.
Yes, or if you want to give money, a donation towards it, I'll be glad to run out and get some school supplies. Just put in the line, in the notes line or the comments line, what you want that to go for, Meals from the Heart or feeding program or backpack or school supplies or whatever. Put that in the notes line so that money can be directed the right way. That's $AtOP and the number one. $ATOP and the number one. If that is it, let's
yes.
go to God in prayer. God, we thank you on tonight. We bless you and we honor you, for you alone are worthy to be praised. We thank you for another year of life for Sister Pat Echols and Sister Elaine Stevenson.
Thank you, God.
Thank you for allowing them to see another birthday. Then, oh God, we lift up the sick to you, God. We lift up the Key Clay and Johnson family in the loss of Yvonne Clay and in the loss of Laverne Johnson.
Yes, God.
Oh God, we ask that you would comfort them, oh God, and keep them as they mourn the loss of their loved one. We lift up the BC Gray and family, God. We don't know what the issue is, God, but you know, God. Whether it be healing, we grant healing. Whether they need peace, we ask that you would give them the peace that surpasseth all understanding. God, we lift up Brother Jerry Perkins to you. We thank you for bringing him through surgery on today, God. We ask, God, that you would continue to heal his body as he lays on that hospital bed. We thank you for his daughter and his wife that attend to his every need. Continue, oh God, to comfort and keep them, oh God, as they minister to Brother Jerry in his time of sickness. God, we lift up Brother Larkin Jones to you in Chicago, Sister Michelle's uncle, God. We ask that you would just bless him tonight, God.
Yes, God.
As only you can. God, we lift up Brother Robert and Sister Vendora Mills to you, Lord. God, we ask that you would continue to bless them and keep them, oh God, whatever they're going through, God. We ask that you would provide all that they need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, oh God, every person under the sound of my voice, whether they be online now or whether they join in online later on, we ask your choicest blessings to be upon them, oh God. We ask your choicest blessings to be upon us as we continue to go forth and do ministry. We seek to do your will and go your way, oh God, so that when we get to the end of our life, we won't be able to say that it has all been vanity. That when we get to the end of our life, you will say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. Come on up now. Let
thank
me make you,
God. You
ruler
hallelujah.
Over many. We thank you today,
we
God.
Thank you, God.
That what we know that what we do for you will last. So we thank you today, God. We bless you. We thank you for each individual that's on tonight, God. We ask that you would continue to bless us and keep us all until we meet again. In the name of Jesus, we give thanks and praise. Amen and thank God.
Amen.
We thank God
praise
for
God.
You all
hallelujah.
On tonight. Hallelujah.
Glory God.
Bless your
glory
name.
God.
Amen. Love you guys. See you next Monday, 6 o'clock.
Be blessed.